You know, Shamanda, you're always thinking about other people and their experiences. But, you know, the only surgery I ever had was one time I got so excited that my dad came home. I was running on the carpet and I fell and tripped and my teeth went through my lip. And I thought that was the worst thing ever. I had to get stitches in my chin. And I thought everyone would look at me differently because I look different and I experienced something different. But maybe that scar was supposed to be there. So I know better not to run. Or maybe the scar I'm about to get is a good one, so I know better than to be selfish. Ugh. Did I learn a lesson? Ew!
Friends in an alternate future, welcome to Mystery County Monster Hunters Club, where we use dice to tell a story of divided duos and surgical separations in the real and actual 2006. I'm Tyler Samples, your keeper of monsters and mysteries. Let's meet our players.
Hi, everybody. I'm Rashawn Nadine Scott, and my character is Shamanda Felt, the initiate, and this is going to hurt like a mother.
Hi, I'm Jeff Murdoch, and I play Adam Miller, the mundane, and you better believe I'm a perfect 10. Wait, sorry, I misread that. I'm a person who's a teen.
Hi, I'm Erin Rain. I play Crashly Grenadine, the Chosen. And this is what it sounds like in Crashly's brain a lot of the time. Crashly, Crashly, so much fun. Don't get anybody killed. This is fine and this is cool. La, 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 la. Do the thing.
Hi, everyone. My name is Claire Linick and I play Susan Wexler, the expert. And 20% of me is starting to think this is an elaborate setup for my surprise party.
Hi, everyone. I'm Alan Linick, and I play CEJ, the mundane. And CEJ doesn't know this, but the radio station he's been rocking out to for the past week and a half is a Christian rock station.
Where we left off, Adam and Crashly were healing up, but surrounded by encroaching predatory vines that were inching their way forward from where they had been severed, but those severed parts rooting on the floor around them. They were left alone because Susan had grown wings to pick up herself and CEJ and fly forward to find Shamanda, whom she had received a voicemail from, informing her of something quite bad, namely that Shamanda had only a few minutes left before the Bondelgrob inside of her took over and merged her into the Bondelgrob hive mind. Luckily, they got there in time. Unluckily, it might not be enough time, as Shamanda has fallen unconscious right in front of Susan, and Susan says to CEJ that they need to begin surgery. I think that is where we're just going to immediately jump into things. Susan, Shamanda is laid out in front of you, unconscious, sweating. She looks bad. You know from what, from the information that she gave, and from looking at her, you've got maybe 2 minutes before this transformation is complete. What do you do?
Oh my gosh, Susan, do something!
I am. I literally am.
We haven't had a chance to have the talk about like.
I've started surgery as CEJ speaks.
Okay, and how are you? What does that look like?
So it's my blessed knife, and I'm using the spell that I believe I should have listened to this episode that I used with Dragline. I believe it was called Guide My Blade.
That's right. Yeah, you use it to like do an enchant weapon. Okay, cool. So go ahead and roll plus weird. Let's use magic here.
I am going to burn a luck.
Okay, so yeah, you go ahead and burn a luck. So you will have a complete success then. It's going to work without issues. So you are enchanting a weapon, and I think what we said last time was basically with your weapon doing this, you're making it so that it does precise cuts so that it's like, instead of doing extra harm, it's doing extra healing, essentially, like a super-powered scalpel. As you are cutting in, you're watching like where the cut is happening. The edges of the cut are already starting to heal to keep the blood flow at a minimum as it's going. CEJ, as Susan starts to cut into the current love of your life, into her stomach, what are you doing?
I know this. We need towels and hot water.
And I run off to get those things.
Don't go too far.
I just run off. I run in a random direction, pure panic.
He's gone. Okay.
Great. So CEJ, then you, as we know with CEJ, whenever you go off by yourself to check somewhere out, you get to mark experience. If you go somewhere scary, you are somewhere scary. You are currently in what was originally a rec center here in Barora, but is now been converted over mainly into, like, I think probably specifically into the Bramer. Am I pronouncing that correctly, Claire? The Bramer Community Center?
Yes. Yeah, Bramer. You did great.
Okay. Thank you so much. Yeah. So you are in the Bramer Community Center. The gym is where you would encounter normally people playing pickleball or their basketball league on Tuesdays at 6:30. I'm currently looking at the Bramer Google calendar because I can. So you're going out to explore this space that looks like it had been converted over into the use for other things. CEJ, while you're running out, let's focus here one moment on Susan. Susan, you are cutting in. What's your next move? So we have yet to encounter somebody this far gone. We have encountered Zomblegrobs in Colorado when we played that side adventure. We've seen what it looks like when a Bondelgrob bud has completely merged with a human.
Mm-hmm.
We've seen when it just starts with Dragline, when it very first jumped down her throat. But we've yet to see like a moment like this where it's like 60 to 90 seconds away from completing a merge. So I think when you cut in to Shamanda, unfortunately, this is a large cut. Like, this is not robotic surgery, you know, like where you slip something in. This is sort of, you need access to a lot, because as you're opening up, you're seeing most of her organs are covered by like black ooze.
Ugh.
And it's that thing where there's like small tendrils that are sort of drilled down into the organs. I mean, it's truly like if there was an intelligent tumor that was trying to access all of your major organs, that's what you're currently seeing.
Horrid.
Susan, how do you deal with, like, what is it that you need to do to resolve this? Because it's obviously not like just one cut and then it's all over or anything.
No. So I am cutting out what would be like the main source line of it.
Okay.
Which should stop the spread.
Oh my God. You know, when we dealt with Dragline, you said it goes to a specific organ.
Oh yeah. Mm. It's the one that they're always like, what is that? What is it for?
Was
even?
It the gallbladder?
Gallbladder.
Appendix? Gallbladder. Oh yeah.
It was the gallbladder. Yeah.
Yes,
it merges
yes.
in the gallbladder. And that is where it's centered. So that's where you're going for is.
So I'm cutting out her gallbladder. So that should stop the spread.
Okay.
And then I need to draw out what's already there.
You do. Now, so these are going to be distinct mm-hmm. things. So you're going to do an act under pressure to try to remove her gallbladder. And as you're going to cut it, so the gallbladder is pulsing and you can see like viscous black Bondelgrobness kind of oozing out of it and encapsulating other organs. And as you're going to cut, two eyes open on the gallbladder surface and a small mouth. And you just hear it going like, Susan, no, please. You made me for this, Susan.
You were a mistake. And I am going to, can I posit that since I have a guided blade, I roll with advantage?
Yeah, we'll say that you're like helping it helps you. So yeah, sure. We can say that. For this, yeah, you can re-roll one of your dice.
Helping myself.
Yeah.
And what is the modifier? Is this...
Plus cool,
8.
Okay. Worst outcome, hard choice, or a price to pay? I mean, I think I'm going to play pretty straightforward here. You nick something, and Shamanda, you take 2 harm. As the blade hits something, it starts to heal, but where it nicked, it looks like the problem is you nicked and it healed on the outside before it healed on the inside from the blade.
Oh my God.
So Shamanda is currently experiencing some internal bleeding.
Good God.
Because now Shamanda is at, how much harm are you at, Shamanda?
Now I am broken.
So you're at 4, which means you're unstable, which means unless mitigated, I can just, well, not I. Circumstances will just create additional harm for Shamanda, which makes sense in this. If nothing else is done, she's going to bleed out. She's not currently it wasn't like a major artery. It's not like being counted in seconds, but something has gone wrong in that regard. But you do manage to get the gallbladder severed. So as you are pulling it out and setting it aside, you are going, and then how are you drawing the rest of?
I mean, listen, I think, tell me if I'm wrong. I feel like I can just call to this stuff.
You can try to.
Okay, sure. Let me give it a try.
Guess who? Come home. You know what tomorrow is. Come on home. Let's celebrate. It's okay. Your favorite day of the year.
I'm going to say that I think this is going to be, again, we've established like normally monsters you can't do manipulate with. That's just a general thing. But in this instance, the bundle grab is such an oddly specific thing that I think it has enough sentience that you can, and especially you, Susan, can interact with it. I think this is going to be a manipulate someone. Mm-hmm. You're not going to get any advantages on this because...
Sure. Not using my knife.
You used your knife and you just removed part of it from Shamanda. So it the fact that it's even willing to listen to you is kind of a mark of the control you normally would have over it.
Okay. So
happy birthday to Susan.
Oh, thank God it's an 11.
Okay.
Happy birthday to Susan.
You watch this viscous thing starting to form. The first thing that forms as it's pulling forward is just a smile. Total Cheshire Cat. Mm-hmm. Huge smile for the amount of the smallness of the thing. This smile is huge, and the amount of teeth is just any time you see the teeth from the smile of a bundle grab, it's deeply off-putting because they're not all teeth from the same thing, and they are not organized as they should be for one mouth. It is like watching the composite of 10 mouths just placed together into a single smile. But it's smiling, and you're just hearing it. Happy birthday to
Susan.
Happy and it's pulling and it's slowly starting to form this like oozing ball of black that is laying just right on top of Shamanda's open stomach cavity where you have cut. What are you doing at this point?
So is it still in the middle of forming?
Mm-hmm.
Once it does, I am going to, because I know my touch is like not great for it, but I'm going to like multiply that since I don't have my flamethrower. I'd like to do what would be like similar to a burning hand situation. Like I am just going to like heat, like flame heat my hands with magic.
Okay. Roll plus weird. Let's do another magic spell here.
I am using different dice today, and I got to tell you, it is making me anxious. I can't find my favorite dice. Thank God. Okay, everyone's okay. It is an 11.
Okay, so what that means then is you are going to, it sounds like you're doing inflict harm.
Yeah, big time.
Okay.
Oh, yeah, I'm trying to kill it.
Because the options are basically, you have two options. You can do one harm to it, or you can trap it. But like your magic, you would need to use big magic in order to actually just kill it with one blast of magic, you know, because you're not really like a spell slinger. You're not an offensive.
Yeah. So let's trap it for now.
Okay, cool. So you're just kind of making like a little fire cage.
Yeah. Cute, by the way.
Yeah.
Cute.
Right. As you're doing that, we'll cut over. CEJ, roll on parts unknown. Let's see what you encounter.
All right. Here we go. I rolled a 2 and a 4.
We've been here.
On a miss, EJ, you're going to encounter danger, and you will either take one harm or you'll lose the entire point pool.
Time to roll the dice.
No. Oh, my God. This is insane. Tyler, take what are you doing? Please.
What are you doing? This is exactly the same rolls as last time.
Yeah. As you prepare to roll the dice, CEJ, what is your harm currently at?
My harm is currently at 3.
Oh, he could become unstable.
Mm. Oh.
There's so, almost a reason for it.
This time.
Odds, I take the harm. Evens. We lose the point pool, which we don't even have that many.
I feel sick.
We had more and more. We had 4.
Okay, it's odd, so I take the harm.
Okay.
Oh, Kind of sad. I wish he did take the. I wish we did. Was like,
I know. It would be more fun to have it to lord over.
Roll again.
Okay.
No.
It's still odds.
Give him 7 harm.
Oh, you did it again?
CEJ, I think what happens is this. You see two doors before you. One is the men's locker room. One is the women's locker room of this community center. Which one do you run into?
I'm a man.
Okay, great. You're a gender essentialist and you run into the men's locker room. As you do, you run through and the danger that you encounter is it appears that somebody at some point tried to make like a last stand in this space. And as you open the door, you trip the wire that is just across the front of the entrance. And it's pretty simple. It's like not that impressive of a trap, but just a large hunting knife slashes across your stomach.
Ow!
Probably the worst part for you, in addition to the one harm that you take, is your shirt gets cut.
What the heck?
What shirt are you wearing?
Scott Stapp signed this shirt.
Oh, no.
Wow. Yeah, it's not that big of a deal.
Wait, so here's the thing I have to ask. Whoa. So CEJ doesn't know that he's been listening to Christian rock, but he is a Creed fan.
Yeah, he doesn't really realize that Creed is a Christian rock.
I see.
Great. Now, how am I supposed to get taken away?
So you take one harm as this happens, and you realize with this that the entire space that you're in is likely booby-trapped with other things.
Now I have a cool knife to get through them with.
It's not even a cool knife. That's the other problem. It's like a really shitty, it's not even like a good kitchen knife. It's like, you know what it is? It's like a grapefruit knife.
Oh, perfect. All right. I'm gonna take the knife and I'm gonna throw it to the other side of the room.
Okay.
Does anything happen?
You know what? Let's see here. Roll for me. I'd say roll what's going on here. Roll plus sharp.
What is it? Oh, Alan.
That is a 3.
A 3. Wow. You'll get the answer, but you won't like how it arrives. As you throw it across the room, and an explosion rocks the Kramer Community Center other end of the men's locker room. You watch in slow motion as one of the lockers ripples as the knife just goes and it just lands on a pile of towels at the end, and you realize that it appears to be a pressure plate underneath that, and the locker doors ripple, bend, and blast out as an improvised explosive in there just rocks through. Cody Ernst Jr., I need you to roll plus cool for an act under pressure as
you attempt
to dodge out of the way as this explosion.
Ooh, I got an 11.
Great. You do what you set out to, so you do manage to miss most of it. I'm going to say that you take one harm just from the explosion because you are unstable. Because you already took one harm before, right? So you're at 5 now?
Yeah. And I dust myself off. I kind of get up. I'm like, oh my gosh. Thank goodness I threw that knife because now I disarmed all the remaining traps. And I walk to the other end of the room.
Yeah, I'm going to say, though, with this, because you're unstable and everything, when you land, you feel a crunch and your shoulder dislocates.
Ooh.
Ow.
So you're looking down and your arm is just hanging. And it's your left arm. I don't know if your left or right arm dominant.
Hate that sight.
Okay, great. And I saw in the movies one time that you can, like, push yourself into a wall and, like, re-pop it back in. So okay. I'm going to try that.
Okay, this is going to be an act under pressure.
Poor little CJ.
We're abusing these children.
A 9.
Okay, I give you a worse outcome, a hard choice, or a price to pay. You can do it and take a point of harm, or you can not do it, and things won't get worse, but things won't get better.
I'm going to do it and take a point of harm. Can I pose to you that I put my arm up on the wall. It hurts really bad. And I throw my weight into it to kind of pop it back into place. But I overdo it and my other shoulder pops out.
Oh my gosh.
What's the matter with you? Why would you even pose that?
How is your body put together?
Honestly, Alan, yes, because that's what I was going to propose. But I was like, that's not fair. Like, that's actually not a mixed success. That's worse.
That's like worse than doing nothing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I was like, I'm not going to do that. But if you want to propose it, then yes, absolutely. That's what happened. CEJ,
okay,
you pop into place your one shoulder, but overcorrect. and then your other one just hits and it pops out of place.
Okay. Well, I know this works, so I'm going to do it again.
Okay. Oh. Yeah, at this point, you know how it works. So I believe I'm not going to continually punish you unless you want to roll for it. Yeah.
I mean, dice is dice. Let's roll.
Okay, great. Act under pressure.
Is he gonna die right here?
That's probably.
Alan, what's the matter with you? He said you don't have to roll.
What did you get?
Alan. Someone help. Someone help.
We're in luck. You deserve it.
What did he has like no luck left.
All right. I have to burn a luck. Okay.
Yeah. Okay, great.
How do you even have luck left?
Yo, I'll tell you right. CEJ, you can get some more luck, but it's going to be payable on death.
So, CEJ, you do manage with that then a complete success. You manage to, there's a moment where you have just a thing of like, you know, it's like one of those things as a teenager, where those rare moments when your executive functioning manages to overcome your impulse control. And you have like a moment where you're about to like slam and you realize like, no, if I do that, I'm going to stab that like jagged piece of metal into my shoulder. Wait, and you reposition yourself and then you just pop your shoulder back in and you realize two things. One, when you pop your shoulder back in that time, like it goes in, you can feel it. It feels a little loose and you're like, oh, my shoulder is very likely to become one of those shoulders that always kind of pops in and out. But you also realize you're going to know how. And the first thought that you have is, I have a cool fucking party trick for the right clientele. I can pop my shoulder in and out of place.
Hell yeah.
Yeah.
Take that, Richie Svensson.
Yeah, and then you're looking around the locker room area and you're welcome to investigate it for whatever you would like to see. Most of it has been ripped apart by the blast.
I'm hurt really bad now, but hopefully the explosion made some of the water in here hot, because I know I need hot water for Shemaida's surgery.
Sure, yeah. So you go to the, I mean, there at the other end, you can see the sink, just where the sink was, has been replaced by just open pipes blasting water up in towards the ceiling.
Great. I'm going to collect some of that water.
In what?
My shirt. I take my shirt off and I soak it in hot water.
Okay. Oh my God. Sure. Great. Susan, you hear an explosion from down
the
hall.
I'm
okay. As you have this bud caged. So I assume you're setting it aside. Shemaida, though, again, you did nick, and Shemaida is not looking great. Shemaida, as you take another point of harm as you continue to bleed internally.
Okay, so with this bleeding, is it something that you think would be best served with magic to fix, or is this like a first aid kit situation? I guess I'm just not good enough with medicine to know what to say here.
It's up to you. The answer is, if you use the first aid kit, you can heal one harm. That won't be enough to make her stable. So,
it won't stop the bleeding, you don't think? Because I guess my first thing is, I got to stop this bleeding.
Well, the problem is the bleeding is internal. So, right? So the cut that you made healed, so you know she is bleeding, but it's not like she's currently bleeding. Like, she's bleeding, you know, internally. So it's not simply a matter of like putting pressure on a thing. It will likely need to be like go in. I also don't know anything about medicine, but I imagine either basically reopen it so that you can stitch it, or use magic to achieve a similar effect.
Well, I'm going to try magic first, and then if not, we're going to do it by hand.
Okay,
here we go.
Thank you so much.
You're so welcome. I have got an 11. And okay, I can't great. Tell if you're saying thank you as a joke, but
no.
I was like, as after I said thank you, I'm like, okay, she might have been joking, because I did cause internal bleeding.
Yeah, Susan, I think this is a moment where you probably really lean on the recent experience of being severed from your emotions to just sort of cool yourself. Collect, focus, and you do a very delicate spell that is very precisely centered, and you feel in your own body sort of a shadow kinetic sense of healing as the cut inside Shemaida heals and binds and closes. So now all that's left to do is either sew up or magic up the main incision on her stomach. While next to you, you still hear, and you and me on Channel 3, and all of us go take the bus. As it's just the little bundle grab bud is just continuing this happy birthday song ad nauseum. Yeah. Just sort of happily singing to itself. What do you do?
Okay, so since I got an 11 for the other time, okay, I am going to, I feel like my luck is going to run out on rolling magic here. I've got a weird feeling about it. I am just going to stitch up by hand. Is that a roll or is that just something I know how to do?
Yeah, that would just be sweating. Using the first aid kit. So
I'm just going to use the first aid kit, Tyler.
Great. So the way that, yeah, the way that we made the first aid kit is you roll a 1d6. On a 2 through a 6, you heal one harm. On a 1, you run out of supplies.
Okay.
And so,
okay.
Like, or on a 1, it has run out of supplies, so it won't work. So you have a 1 in 6 chance of it not working, but otherwise you're fine.
Okay. I got a 3.
Great.
Oh,
yeah.
Gosh.
You have the necessary supplies in there, and Susan, you managed to stitch Shamanda up. This is definitely, like, field stitching.
It's pretty good.
Yeah, actually, you tell me, Susan. Well, Susan, you know what? This is not going to be, like, if you fail, there's no leveling on this because it doesn't affect anything, but I'd say... Either roll, I'd say plus cool with this to see how good your stitching is.
Well, okay, I'm going to roll, but I also am going to tell you that I love doing little cross stitches at night. So I'm okay. Going to roll, but I already know how it is.
Please do embroidery on my abdomen.
Thank God it's
abdomen.
A 7.
You know what? If you do cross stitches and stuff, I'll give you advantage on that.
Thank you so much.
Uh-huh.
Okay, worth it. It's an 8.
Okay, it's pretty good. It's like, you know, it's not like a surgeon level skill or anything, but it's not, you feel like Shaman is definitely going to have a scar.
You wouldn't kick these stitches out of bed.
Yeah,
not
exactly.
For eating crackers.
Not for eating crackers.
It'll be like, it won't be a really gnarly scar, but it will be like, it won't be super noticeable. Shaman, you'll be able to wear like a 2-piece bathing suit if you wanted to, and you won't feel like super insecure about it, but you will have a scar on your tum-tum the rest of your life.
Side note, mm-hmm. That's literally what the surgeon told my parents when I was 5 and had to have surgery. He was like, she'll be able to wear bikinis. It's like, cool.
You're 5-year-old.
Yeah.
Thank goodness.
Look, it's I what know. Us surgeons worry about, okay?
Yeah.
Would you say us surgeons?
Yeah.
Huh?
Oh, yeah. Tyler.
Look, I, as a narrative surgeon, I identify.
And he's always trying to cut the hands off.
Well, funny you should say that, Adam Miller.
Oh, no. Are you coming over to us now?
We're coming over to Adam Miller.
It's time.
Yeah. Cut him in half.
Damn.
What are you, a magician?
Adam Miller is not doing well.
Wait, why?
Adam Miller was at Grievous. Adam Miller had severe burns over most of his body.
That's right.
Poisonous ichor from the plant. The poison ivy junk all over him. He was in real rough shape. So Crashly stayed behind to help, as I believe you did DIY surgery on yourself.
Yeah.
You made yourself stable and broken. And I believe what you decided on doing is that you have disadvantage on going until you get proper medical attention.
Yeah, that sounds right.
So Adam's better, but until you get properly treated, you are going to have disadvantage on all of your roles.
And that's like, what's proper treatment again? That's like bandages?
It's like medical treatment. So it's like finding like a medical facility
like
to
doctor.
Do something. And yeah, it's like a little bit more. It'd be like going to an infirmary or having somebody do magic on you might be a way to do it. Yeah, basically more than you can do with a first aid kit.
Yeah. Okay.
You two are there, and you are sort of finding yourself, as again, you hear that susurration, the murmuring sound of plant on plant, as you see all of the vines that you cut to free yourselves. Anytime you cut one, it propagated it. It landed in place and immediately began to root. And then start to continue its search for magical auras. So you're sort of surrounded by a circle of vines that are feeling their way towards the two of you. What are you two doing in this moment?
Crashly,
yeah.
Don't use any magic.
Okay, I was literally just about to say I'm going to use magic, so I'm really glad you reminded me. And that's real. Okay,
I too won't use magic.
Good. Yeah, I was worried about that.
Okay, let's sneak out. And is there a way out of here, right?
Well, I mean, you're in a hallway right now, but yeah. No, currently you guys are surrounded by vines. Okay.
How tall are they?
It varies. It depends on where you cut on the vine. You know, a lot of the vines were long enough that they were able to hold you. So I would say there's probably no vine out here that is longer than 6 feet, but there is probably no vine out here that is shorter than 1 foot. So there's, you know, an assortment. It appears, at least currently, you're not within reach of any right this moment.
Yeah.
But.
And there's absolutely no way around them.
No, not currently. There is not. The only other thing is, you also know the vines inside were much longer and are all equally ambulatory. And you can see through the open containment door, you can see vines starting to poke around the corner, grabbing on as they're feeling out and exploring. So there's more vines coming out towards you all.
Okay, let's not go that way.
No, let's not go that way. I was going to ask what the ceiling situation is in here.
You tell me.
Because I think it's acoustic tiles that could pretty easily be punched out and crawled above.
Yeah, absolutely.
So I'm going to say, like, Adam, I think we can crawl through the vents up there and, like, get, like, we should go in the other direction from wherever all those vines are going.
Yeah.
And then we can get out of here.
That's a good idea.
Can I climb on your shoulders or do you want to climb on mine?
I should probably, wait, you're in the big body, right?
Yeah.
I should probably climb on your shoulders, Crashly. You're
good
huge.
Idea. Huge. Yeah. Totally. Okay, cool. Yeah, go for it.
Yeah.
Zoop. Okay, so Adam, you crawl onto Crash Reel's.
Yeah, Crash Reel.
Very Crash beefy Reel. Shoulders.
Wow. Dang.
We established that, Crashly, you're now, what, 6?
Like 6'3", like a nice 6'3".
Like a nice 6'3".
Yeah, just a nice one. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to start working out when I get back into my old body.
Yeah.
Wow, you're beefy and I'm sloppy Joe.
That was funny.
Thanks.
Yeah, you're welcome.
So, Adam, you're on Crashly's shoulder. What are you doing now that you're up here?
I'm trying to push up in the tiles and seeing if there's like a vent that's close.
Okay, go ahead and let's do act under pressure on this one.
Hell yeah. And that's cool.
Yeah, it is. Were you going to say something, Aaron?
Well, I think it's 6'3". I could reach up and pop it myself.
You could. You did offer him to climb up on
your
shoulders. I did.
This
though.
Is good for Adam.
This is good for Adam.
Yeah.
It's not that good. I rolled a 4.
Oh, shoot. Okay. Go ahead. I was going to say, like, Adam's struggling, so I think I'm going to pretend like I'm scratching under my arm, so my one arm goes up and boof, like, boops the acoustic tile.
So it sounds like you're trying to help him out.
Yeah, I'm going to help out.
Okay, roll plus cool.
I could have done it without rolling if we had just stayed in the fiction, but...
Yeah, I like the fiction.
I rolled an 11.
Okay, oh, great. Hell yeah. So, yeah, Jeff, go ahead and re-roll. Your lowest, okay. Or either of them.
My lowest? Okay. Okay, that brings me up to an 8.
Nice. Great. Thank you. Yeah. You're able to do it.
Thanks, Beefy Boy.
Thanks, Sloppy Joe. You're welcome. Oh my gosh, we have nicknames now.
Wow, we should get a spinoff and get rid of the rest of the group.
Sounds good. I'll make the t-shirts.
I'll make the hats. The lids.
Oh.
And as you're saying that, you managed to get the tile off, which is great. So that's a mixed success on Act Under Pressure. So here's what's going to happen. The price that you're going to pay on this, Adam Miller, is you managed to pop that ceiling off and start to lift yourself up right as one of the vines grabs onto Crashly's ankle as she's not quite paying attention in this moment. And Crashly slams to the ground hard. Crashly, you're taking one harm from this.
No.
As you hit the ground, you feel something shift in your face. None of your teeth are out, but one of them gets loosened as you hit. But more importantly, you are getting dragged back towards the vine room. Crashly, slowly but surely getting dragged. Adam, you are up above in the ceiling, kind of precariously balanced on, because, you know, it's all acoustic tiles. So you're on sort of the metal mesh that holds the acoustic tiles in place. You're up there. There's a vent to your left that you looks like you could get into, but you're seeing Crashly get yanked back inside. Her beautiful Hemsworth face contorted in pain and confusion. What are you doing?
I can't leave, Crashly.
Maybe you should, though. I don't want you to get caught. Like, I don't know. What? Well, these vines don't recognize you, so actually, get back down. Help me.
Okay. Yeah. Okay, last time I did this, I got stuff all over me, and it hurt.
Oh, yeah. I don't have any of my stuff. Shoot.
Okay. Do I have my cell phone on me, or do I have anything on me, Tyler? I think my cell phone's in the car.
Okay, sure. If you say so. Yes, well, your cell phone's in your car.
I did make my cell phone into the car, I think.
Yes, you did. Yeah, you're right. You did integrate your cell phone in.
I do have a kind of an embarrassing thing. At least I think it is. I still have a Tamagotchi.
Okay, great. So you have your Tamagotchi. What are you doing with it?
I'm doing some weird science on it to make it a fire grenade.
Oh, God.
Yes.
Okay. Great. I'm so excited. Jeff, let me pull something up for you with this.
Yes, sir.
So for our listeners and the other people present, Jeff and I have been talking about creating a playbook for Jeff, a scientist playbook, just to sort of lean into it.
Thank you.
Using some of the moves from Science Guy and Mad Scientist and Action Scientist. These are other playbooks that have been developed by other smart, clever people. So I believe, though, this is going to be, Jeff, so... For now, this is we're going to try out, see how this move works for you, destructive genius.
Yes.
So you're going to try to turn a household accessible item into a temporary weapon. Roll plus weird, and we will see.
All right. Okay, that's an 11.
Wow.
You get to add two of these tags to it. Okay. Yes. So it's going to unless. So it starts out with two tags, one that it will do one harm and that it needs to be in close range. These other tags do other things to it. So you can give it three charges so it can work three times instead of one time. You can make it ignore armor so there's no protection against it. You can add an additional harm and have it work far. You can add two harm to it and have it act as like a barrier. You can add fire, ice, electricity, or force damage. You can make it life draining where it takes a health away from something else and gives it to you. You can make it stunning, or you can make it innocuous where it's easy to hide in your pocket.
Oh,
you get to pick two of those. I know there's a lot there, but
yeah. I'm going to poll the group. What do y'all think?
Oh,
I mean, fire sounds good against plants.
Yeah, it does.
Just I like being able to use it three times and have it, be either electric, fire, or ice or whatever. The combo thing was cool too. Yeah. Or that you take health from other people and it goes back to you. That's a really good one.
Yeah, that's really a fun one.
I can't see you using that very much though.
The draining one?
So this will just be on the Tamagotchi.
Yeah. And it's a one-time thing.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Or a three-time thing.
Oh, because you're really hurt, right? Maybe it could help you to do the life draining and then fire?
Yeah, that's a good idea. Yeah, let's do those two, Tyler. I wanna use this to create fire on this plant to freak it out, and then I want some of that sweet plant life.
Photosynthesize, my dude.
Okay, great. So you convert your Tamagotchi. Yeah. So the Tamagotchi is going to do one harm and then basically give you one health.
Yeah, it's like the Tamagotchi is like feeding me because I've been feeding the Tamagotchi.
That's honestly so sweet.
Do you have like a little conversation with the Tamagotchi?
Yeah. I like just put up to my mouth like while I'm hanging from the rafter or the roof. I'm like, hey, buddy, I've been feeding you and now it's time for you to feed me. We got to save Crashly. I love you.
I love you too.
Wait, did you poop?
Yeah.
That's my boy.
As you throw the Tamagotchi down.
That's my boy.
I love you, Dad. Mastercard, my boy.
Great. Okay, cool. So go ahead and roll to kick some ass.
Cool. All right. So that's going to be, what is that, tough?
Yeah, plus tough.
Got a one for tough. Okay, that is going to be an 8.
Great. So you are going to inflict harm on each other. So as you throw it down, fire unleashes, gout of flame, as the Tamagotchi. What is the Tamagotchi's last words? I'll leave this to Alan.
Oh, Alan, please, yeah.
What? I'm sorry, what?
Tamagotchi's last words before it immolates in flame.
That's a Furby.
It never got to become what it really wanted to be.
Oh, no.
As it just explodes, Crashly, you hold your face back and cover your eyes as this massive explosion rocks. As you hear a similar explosion somewhere else happen almost at the same time, a few blocks away.
Damn.
It just suddenly starts to feel even more chaotic as this countdown is now at like 30 minutes. This, what you all believe to be a self-destruct countdown, is calling out across the base. And this explosion in front of you, all of the vines around you just start wiggling and writhing in fear and panic, or whatever the plant equivalent of that is. Crashly, you are released.
Woo!
You go down but the vines in there wriggling and writhing, one of them snaps up and just sort of, not even instinctually, just sort of
reflexively?
Yeah, reflexively, thank you.
Yeah.
And just reflexively curls around the metal of the framework for the ceiling and yanks as it shrivels. And Adam, you fall to the ground. You're going to take one harm. That's how you take harm back, as it kicks your ass, quote unquote, as you land, and you watch all of the venting and everything just start to sag and lose structural support as the vines wither under the course of the flames. But for the moment, you two are free.
And then I take health. I get health back, right, from the Tamagotchi?
And then you get health back as you're doing it, you're watching, you land, hit hard, and then 1 point of health, I think still through that like weird chip that you still sort of have in your head that's damaged or something. But you're.
I was also going to present that I have a Tamagotchi like in my chest, like Iron Man.
You hit hard, but you're in like classic superhero pose of like one knee on the ground, one foot up, one fist on the ground. And then Crashly, you watch as Adam Miller.
When did I come up with this stuff?
Adam Miller stands up and his shirt is ripped from where some of the metal cut on his t-shirt. And you see there, centered on his chest, things that he did at the technical college, a Tamagotchi just physically enmeshed in his chest there, and it just goes like bloop, 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 bloop. And you feel a warmth infuse you, Adam, as you take in one health.
Awesome.
back to stasis.
Beautiful.
Crashly, what do you do as you stand up? It looks like your preferred method of escaping has been cut off to you all, but in this moment the plants are on fire.
Yeah,
the hallway seems it seems like you have you could definitely attempt to run past them all down the hallway towards.
Yeah.
I mean, I definitely did like say, awesome, that was Crashly. And I think I'm going to say, we should just run. Also, hold your breath. You could get high and become addicted.
What? To what?
The burning plants.
Oh, okay.
I took extra credit dare.
Extra credit dare?
Tyler, yes. Tyler, does this burning plant smell like the dankest kush?
Oh, my gosh.
We're going to find out. So, Crashly and Adam, roll plus cool.
Oh, no.
Because this is going to be an act under pressure.
I got a 10.
Okay.
I've got a 9. Wait, no. Yep, 9.
Okay. Adam Miller, do you hold your breath?
Yeah. I'm not a druggie.
Okay, Adam Miller, here's the price to pay is you're still not the most athletic guy.
Yeah, well, yeah.
So you can't hold your breath for very long. And as you are running down the hallway, you start to gasp and you just take a full hit of something.
Whoa.
And here's the thing, to answer your question, Alan, no. This is absolutely not psychogenic on any level, but Adam Miller, you are convinced that you are high.
Yeah. It's like the kids who smoked oregano.
Absolutely. Or like
salvia.
Salvia. Yeah. Or like when you're supposed to like take the banana peel and bake it for 10 minutes and then take the crystals on the edge. I read a lot of internet in the late 90s that was different ways that supposedly would make you either high or explosives. And wow. The former was never true, and the latter was always true.
Damn.
So, Jesus.
Yeah.
Dang.
Early internet was a wild place.
Yeah.
Anyway, though, so yeah, Adam Yahoo. Miller, you accidentally breathe in a thick breath of this heavy, potent plant smell, and you definitely feel high. As you two are running, here's one other thing that happens. The fire...
Fucking God.
Adam, you watch the fire start to spread, and those plants definitely start to make a sound that is closer to a person screaming than it is to a random noise.
Hmm.
I don't know what you do with that. Do you just keep running?
I don't think I heard that. I'm like, whoa. Crashly, keep quiet.
And Crashly has been going, so, okay, sorry. I mean, okay, sorry.
Yeah. So, okay, great. It sounds like you both think the other person made the noise, so you just keep running. Great. So you two.
Oh, I heard it too?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, I thought just Adam heard it.
No, well, no, both of you did. Do you do anything?
No.
Crashly, who are you talking to?
I was talking to you.
Oh.
What do you mean? You're the only person here.
Oh, that's right. I'm the only person here.
Oh, no. You got high.
No. Yes.
Tell me what it's like later.
Honestly,
let's go find Shemanda.
I'm so hungry.
Crashly, go ahead and roll for parts unknown. So you're okay. The one leading this. You're looking for Shemanda, you said?
Yeah.
So roll plus sharp.
Okay. I got a 9.
Okay, so you are going to gain 1 point. You guys now have collectively 3 points, but you are going to encounter a danger. What are the two numbers you rolled?
A 6 and a 1.
6 and a 1. Yeah. Oh.
No, come on, Tyler.
Ooh, who she is.
I just need to roll something.
Oh, my God.
You okay?
Yeah.
Did you inhale too, Samantha?
No, Samantha totally inhaled.
I did not inhale. I didn't exhale.
That'll do it.
Oh, fuck yeah. This is cool as hell.
Tyler is so excited.
What is it?
Okay, 1 second. Sorry.
It's okay. Sitting in this terrifying moment will only make it
so all much like better. So broken.
I know. Yeah. This is bad. Yeah.
My guts are just splayed open.
Oh, I have never felt so more dumb. Uncomfortable during a game than when I was performing surgery on Shemanda.
You did great, though.
You did fantastic. Excellent job.
Oh, good God. It could have just gone 200 different ways.
Woof.
And I didn't have my usual dice.
I know. Oh, my goodness.
Oh, no.
I had to reroll because one of the things that was on there turns out to not be correct. So here's the question for you. High or low, Crashly?
High.
Okay.
Great. Yeah, me too.
That one goes out to Adam.
As you're running, yeah, you're just running. Everything's cool.
Oh.
You don't run into any problems.
That doesn't sound ominous at all.
You're just moving forward.
Great.
So you know where Susan was headed, which was the Bramer Community Center. You obviously don't really know where that is, but you know the general direction she was going. Are you trying to stay inside this building? Are you trying to get onto the roof to move forward? Or are you trying to get outside?
I mean, I was going to try to stay inside, but I guess that depends on the vines and if they're like everywhere or if we've kind of moved past them now.
Running past where they were. Yeah, they were just in a room, but because of your engagement with them, they kind of spread out, but not so far that you couldn't get ahead of them.
Okay, great. So yeah, unless you in your current state think we should do something else, I was going to...
No.
Yeah.
I think whatever you want.
Okay. Well, yeah, I just want to try to go in the direction that Susan went.
Okay, great. You do. As you're running forward, you hear... Well, let's cut back over to Susan and Shemanda and CEJ. CEJ, where did we leave you off?
I had just put
just got
a bunch of water in my shirt.
Yeah.
Well, when you say it like that, that's a little disparaging. No, but,
that's fair. CEJ, you come back out into the hallway with your very tenderly damped Creed shirt, and you see Susan there. Susan, you have, at this point, you're finishing up the last stitch. As CEJ comes forward, CEJ, you see Shemanda there on the ground.
I have water.
I brought water. And this shirt is also, it could be used as a towel or a rag.
Oh, thank you, buddy. Yeah, bring that here. I'm going to need that.
Okay. And I pass it to Susan, and I just watch shirtlessly while this continues.
Great.
Is she going to be okay?
Absolutely.
You're not using the water.
Oh, yes, I am.
No, you're just kind of, you're actually kind of keeping it as far away from the wound as you can.
Oh, of course. That's how it's helping.
Don't you need to clean it or something? Or whatever. Shamanda!
Surprise!
Oh my gosh!
Happy birthday, Lord. Susan!
Really?
Yeah.
You guys remembered?
Yeah, the shirt is for you.
Oh, I love it. Thank you, kids.
Am I dad?
No.
No. You're no one's dad.
And you look hotter than ever.
Am I a monster, Susan?
No. Well, you've been a little naughty lately, but I wouldn't say a monster, okay? You're going to be just... And I'm too close to her face.
Yeah.
You're going to be just fine.
Shamanda, you wake up to Susan just pushed right over your face, and then next to her, a shirtless CEJ.
Ugh.
Well, hello there.
Hey. Ooh.
Also, you look down, Shamanda, and you see a huge cut on your stomach.
Oh.
And you are, and you see, I guess, Susan, what did you do with the gallbladder? Is that what's in the cage?
Well, yeah, that's okay. Because it's full boner girl by this point, but I'm just going to be like, don't those stitches look nice?
Oh my gosh, are those my initials? Thank you so much.
Well, I at first didn't mean to, but then it started to look to it. So I was like, okay, well, we can lean in.
Oh yeah, I might actually need not to. You know, trying to take a spotlight or anything, but I could probably use also some stitches. And I dislocated both of my shoulders, and I just took an explosion to the face. But Shaman, I'm so glad you're okay.
See, EJ, you're taking one more harm.
Yeah,
as you're unstable. As you turn, and Susan and Shamanda, you see EJ's back is just one long blistered burn.
Oh my gosh!
Is it bad? You could be honest.
It is really bad.
Oh, no. You should have lied.
I'm going to perform first aid on him.
Oh, man.
And I reach into my jean jacket and pull out, like, burn ointment.
Okay,
or,
great.
Like, aloe.
Yeah, I got a 5 on my first aid roll.
Okay. Yeah, so you're able to do that. So you're able to sit CEJ down and fix him up. So CEJ, you get one harm reduced. What are you at currently, though, CEJ?
I just gained one and lost one, so I'm still at 5 or 6.
Yeah, so you're still unstable. So, Susan, you as you start to treat CEJ, you realize, like, oh, his injuries are much worse than he has been letting on or seems to notice. You realize he seems to be in shock. And so you are either going to need to do magic on this or try to do something else. He needs more than just what a first aid kit can provide.
Okay. I'm going to use magic on this kid.
Okay. And blood just pours out of my mouth.
All right. Go ahead.
Okay.
Roll plus weird.
It is a 12.
Ooh, okay. Right. Wow. So yes.
These new dice.
These new dice are it.
Mm-hmm. You do manage to help CEJ. I think what I would say with this, Susan, is you can either heal one harm for him or make him stable, because since he's at 5, if he goes down to 4, he'll still be unstable. So I will either let you make him stable but be in pretty rough shape, or make him less rough but he would still be unstable.
Yeah, I'm gonna make him stable, and I think Shamanda, are you still down to do first aid? Then after that might help.
Yeah, I can do first aid. I'll do first aid to hang on to my hold, if that's all right, because if the aloe thing really didn't do anything while you're doing magic. But yes, I'll do first aid.
So Shamanda and CEJ are basically in the same shape. You both are at grievous harm, but you are currently stable.
Oh, so, twins.
Yeah, so Shamanda's going to try to do first. Shamanda, you feel like shit right now. Just to clarify on it, you've just had open floor surgery. So You did wake up and everything, but you are not necessarily, if you're welcome to try to do first aid. I'm going to actually make you roll to act under pressure for it, though, just because, like, you had non-anesthetic surgery, like, 2 minutes ago.
Fair.
Maybe I'll like, say, Susan, reach into my jacket, whatever you want, you can have it to help.
Oh my God. Okay. So many stickers.
Is it okay if I lie down on my tum-tum?
Yes.
My back hurts pretty bad.
Yeah, everyone lay down. Okay. Everyone lay down.
I hold CEJ's hand. Aww. As I've got my hand on my gut and you're on your tummy.
Nice. And I just lay down, face down on the ground, but I put my head to the side so we can just like look at each other on the verge of passing out as we are
Do
lying
you try
down.
To kiss?
No.
Okay.
Nicholas Sparks?
No,
shit.
I say...
Too much effort.
I was a bitch to Dragline.
Yeah, I know.
Wait. Oh, was there more? Shamanda? Shamanda, was there more? Shamanda.
Crashly, was there more? Running. Adam Miller, sort of staggering behind you. What are you doing, Crashly? You know Susan's ahead of you. You have your cell phone.
Oh, yeah. I'm going to try to, I don't know in 2006 if there was any kind of, I don't think there's any find my phone or find my friends back in 2006.
Definitely not. There is the ability to call people.
I'll just call Susan. I'm going to call.
The solution to every Seinfeld episode ever, make a phone call.
Yeah. Okay, great. So you're going to call Susan. So yeah, Susan, your phone rings. You see it's Crashly.
Hello, this is Susan Wexler.
Hi, Susan. It's Crashly. I'm here with Adam. We got out of the vines. Where are you? I want to
come. Who is that? Who is it? Is
it Susan? It's Susan.
Susan, I'm so high.
Yeah, he breathed in some plants.
I'm so high. You have to get me out of here. I think Crashly's going to kill me.
Adam, any decision you make is the right decision right now. And listen, kids, come to the Bremer Center.
Well, I don't, Susan. The Bremer. Where's the Bremer Center?
Right next. Do you remember the library?
Yeah,
It's right across the street.
Oh, we have to leave. Okay, we got to go outside.
Okay, and that's what I want to do too. Okay,
and Susan, you hear almost more clearly than the kids, just in the very background of it. And the kids, there's so much noise going on. Again, you all. I mean, I'm sparing everybody, including our listeners, this, but there is a constant
29 minutes left on the clock.
That countdown is just happening over and over, just echoing across this thing. There's lots of noises happening. There's also like a rumble of feet and bodies. It sounds like going somewhere. There's just a lot of noises. But Susan, you hear within that, closer to the phone, you hear, let's see if I can do this. That's not it.
Oh my God.
What the hell?
Very faintly in the background. And Susan, I'm going to let you roll lore library. So roll plus sharp, Susan.
Lore library.
Now I've heard everything.
Oh God. It's a 4.
Four. Okay, so on a lore library roll, then on a 4, I will show you something interesting about what you're trying to recall right now. As you're listening on the phone, the only thing that I will say is you don't remember any salient details about it, but you definitely recognize the call of an Ozark howler. And you know in that moment that that's the call that it makes when it is about to pounce.
Whoa.
God damn it.
Do you say anything to Crashly and Adam, who appear to not recognize what this sound is?
Kids, you're in danger. There is a demon near.
What?
Get here. There's an Ozark howler near you. You are in danger.
Is Crashly the howler? Is that what you're saying?
No. You kids, fight like hell.
Okay. Not with each other, though. Tell Adam, not with each other.
Not with each other. Bite this thing like hell.
I trust you, Crashly.
Okay, I trust you too. Oh, duh.
I trust you both.
I am so high, and I'm so sorry if I die.
No. Hey, Adam, being high only lasts 5 minutes, so you're already done, buddy.
Huh.
Oh.
You feel better?
Oh my gosh. Wow. That was the first time I've ever been high.
Actually, it seemed really cool.
Yeah. Oh, we got to go back and try that again later. But we got to kill this howler.
Totally. I've been drunk before. We can talk about it later.
What?
When? Yeah. Just off kombucha all the time. Like all the time.
What?
Yeah.
I'm still on the line.
So wait, what's the howler look like? What's it look like?
Am I allowed to say, Tyler?
You don't. Yeah. I mean, yeah. I can tell you. Yeah.
Oh, am I allowed to say?
Oh, you Googled it?
Well, I Googled it, but I don't know.
Yeah, yeah. If you Googled it, then yeah, please say.
It's a bear-like in shape with a gray-colored shaggy coat. And it kind of looks like it has, in some photos, like horns. It looks really fun.
Yeah. Oh. It definitely does.
Let's get out of here.
Yeah. I don't want to fight that.
Adam and Crashly, you don't see anything around you.
Cool.
Let's go.
You do hear that noise,
uh-huh.
Which is roughly almost like something awful laughing.
Yeah. What was the noise?
Where's it coming from? Can we see?
What did it sound like? Oh, God. It's just
totally different.
I don't know. I'm really trying to find it. I might replace it in post with just like a good laugh.
No, you better not.
I walked if you replace any of those.
I say we hire someone on Fiverr to do it.
Oh, I couldn't agree more. The problem that you have, Crashly and Adam, as you're running and you don't hear it because it's echoing off as you are running, you find yourself at the Aurora Cooperative Tire Shop.
Oh. Mm-hmm. Oh.
You find yourself, you stumble forward into just sort of the warehouse of this tire shop that has been reappropriated to be a mechanic shop for the black site.
Is Susan still on the phone with us?
Susan's still on the phone with you as you hear echoing in this large, just sort of warehouse space, that laugh, and then a second one.
Susan, what is its weakness?
I know, Tyler?
You don't know. Your lore library role was not sufficient to...
I don't know, but if the bundle grab is a part of it already, then we would know fire as a weakness, right?
Fire, yeah.
I just used my Tamagotchi!
But I have a lighter that I bought at the 7-Eleven when I was feeling rebellious.
Whoa, Crashly. Yeah.
I know, it has a picture of the Fonz on it.
Fonz?
Yeah, it's really dorky, but I think it'll work.
See if there's anything around you can catch on fire. I'm going to guess Barora has 29 minutes to live, so you stay alive, but do not worry about hurting any material goods around you.
Okay, Crashly, can I see your lighter? I'm going to try to make it into a flamethrower.
Totally, here you go, and I toss it.
Great. Adam, you have the lighter. I think this is the same thing.
Yeah.
You're trying to make something, a temporary weapon. So roll plus weird, Adam.
Cool. Oh, I'm burning a luck.
Okay. Wow. Okay.
Let's see. And also, I find something cool, you know?
Yeah, you'll find something weird, maybe even useful. Yeah, what do you find?
I find an actual flamethrower.
Can I have my lighter back?
No, sure. Okay, because also you burned the luck. So you what are the two tags that you're putting on the lighter that you're putting together?
Oh, so we have two flamethrowers, Crashly.
Nice.
So you can see the list. I read it out before, but Jeff, I think you can see it now. What are the two tags you're putting on?
What was this called again? I'm looking at the thing you sent
me. It's Destructive Genius.
Mm. Okay, I see it. Okay, the tags that I'm putting on this thing. Okay, we want this to add. We're going to give this three charges because we want to fight this thing, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And also, I think we don't care about innocuous. We're going to add a harm from far because we don't want to be close to this thing.
Yeah. Right?
Okay, great.
Yeah, that's smart.
Because it's already fire, so I don't need to add fire to it.
Right.
That'd be
Tyler?
Crazy.
You don't need... Well, no. Yeah, you're right. You don't need to add fire to it.
So I give Crashly the tiny lighter that's a flamethrower.
Nice.
And I got the big old flamethrower. The real.
The Fonz thrower.
Actually, honestly, no. I'm flipping that.
You want Crashly, the Fonz one?
Crashly in this body should have the big flamethrower. It's
true.
I can't hold this thing up.
It's proportionizing.
Yeah, that's
true. Yeah.
As you do that, you two walking across the floor of this mechanic shop, there's the two like bays where cars get lifted, you know, and both of those lifts are up, though no car is on them. So there's two open holes in the floor where mechanics would work from below. And out from one of those holes, you see what Susan described, this large bear-like creature. It almost looks like a cross between a bear and a mountain lion. It has glowing red eyes, a large smile, and it does again that just this very creepy Bondelgrabian laugh, and it starts to approach.
No.
But you know there's a second one, and you don't know where.
Mm.
And that is where we'll end our episode for today.
Ooh, good
dang
one.
It.
Yeah.
So much tension. Oh my God.
We gotta get out of this place.
Thanks so much for listening, Monster Hunters. If you enjoyed this, leave us a review on Apple Podcasts or give us a shout out on Twitter at Mystery County. Either is an amazing way for us to know that you're out there listening and enjoying the show. Until next time, watch out for attempting to do Foley work on the fly.
God, you would see that, CEJ.
Oh my God.
Damn.
Is Alan all right? Sounds like he's choking his tongue. Claire, do something.
I'm giving him the Heimlich.
In the universe of Star Wall Odyssey, space is made out of the collective imaginations of all the thinking beings who live on various planets. These worlds are connected to each other through imagination. Common themes and ideas are strings between universes. And to get between them, people fly wooden ships that look like animals, which are powered by emotions. Also, people communicate with each other by contemplating orbs. The only way you can take pictures is getting stared at by a big psychic bug. And people have already declared victory in a war over the very concept of evil. But I'm getting ahead of myself. Star Wall Odyssey follows the adventures of the hapless inhabitants of the Lucky Finn tenement building, who suddenly find that their apartment is actually a spaceship, and that they're lost in a sea of boundless imagination. It's an actual play starring me, James D'Amato, Mel D'Amato, Allie Grauer, and Drew Merzieski, as we playtest the No Kings system, which will hopefully one day be the Skyjack's role-playing system. It toes the line between weird and wonderful slice of life and high-flying space fantasy. You can sample the first 5 episodes by searching for Star Wall Odyssey on your favorite podcast app, or get the whole thing by heading to patreon.com/oneshotpodcast and signing up for $5 a month or more.